This fan-run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. The Top 4 at 4 this afternoon brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Jake Miller.
Number one, Tennessee football media days were held today with multiple coaches taking questions. One of the highlights that I took was from offensive coordinator Alex Golish, who said, "We would like to hang out with one guy, hang one guy on our hat, and narrow the quarterback position down to two or three guys over the next week and a half, then make the decision on a starter."
So run that through, a week and a half of the four-guy rotation. He wants to name a starter a week and a half into camp. So
he wants to narrow it down to two or three guys within the next week and a half and then make a decision on a starter from there.
So this is going to be like quarterback survivor, Bear. We're going to vote guys off the island as we go along.
Yeah, he's not fooling around. He's wanting to get it. It's very it's just unlike a lot of the former regimes. He's wanting to figure out who his guy is and get it settled quick.
I mean, you want to create some excitement, enthusiasm for Tennessee football. If it's people say it's there's a little dull, there's not a lot of buzz. Let's have some Hard Knock style videos, man. Let's put a TV show out there. I want to see Heupel meeting with the quarterbacks in his room. That little camera, you know, up in the corner of the office where hey, come on in, bring your playbook. Sorry, man, you've been eliminated.
What, like a Hard Knock style documentary?
Yeah, your scout team. Sorry, bud.
And number two, the New York Giants' first day of padded practice at training camp ended abruptly today when Coach Joe Judge angrily addressed and punished his players for a team-wide brawl that including starting quarterback Daniel Jones at the bottom of the pile.
Joe Judge, I read there was a reporter who, I guess he was there, covering it, and he tweeted, it was a hilarious thread, but Joe Judge went old school on him. 100-yard gassers, up-downs.
Was our guy Pruitt, was he involved in any of this? Was he?
Nah, he's in an office watching film.
He's not on the field at all?
I don't think so. He's just a consultant. He might be.
What about Dooley? Dooley's tight ends coach or something there, right?
Oh, Dooley was probably on the field.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Dooley was.
That's what you want. Your quarterback is not that good anyway at the bottom of the pile. That's a good look, New York Giants. I go ahead and save you a lot of time, heartache, anguish for Giants fans. Joe Judge, not the guy. Not the guy.
Nah.
I don't tell you that right now. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Joe Judge as your head coach.
There was another major incident at the Panthers training camp. A guy got...
Yeah, they cut him.
They threw him out of practice and, you know, put him on a bus.
Well, the wide receiver that he hit got took out in an ambulance, too.
Yeah.
And that takes us to number three. Reserve safety JT Ebay was waived by the Carolina Panthers shortly after he delivered an illegal hit to the head of Keith Kirkwood that sent the wide receiver to the hospital in an ambulance during Tuesday's practice.
I mean, what the hell are you doing? I mean, I know when you're an undrafted free agent, you're trying to make a name for yourself, Russell, but...
Oh, he made a name for himself.
Yeah, you can't. He'll surface probably on somebody's team, I would imagine.
Yeah, but for the meantime, he's got himself blackballed from every team that's in the NFL.
I mean, it's just dumb. That's your teammate.
That's tough.
I mean, I've watched it over. There was just no need for it. The guy was going down.
What position was the guy he hit? Is this like a defensive back on receiver play?
Yeah, the guy he hit was a receiver.
Receiver who has been – he's just had some really bad luck. He's had a couple of broken collarbones, so he actually has only played in like 10 games in his career, and they're really hoping to get something out of him this year, and now he's in the hospital with his egg scrambled.
Oh, by the way, Pruitt is listed as a senior defensive assistant with the Giants. You know, the linebackers coach with the New York Giants, Kevin Scherer.
They've got a bunch of the Tennessee, rejects.
Isn't that where Crazy Craig Fitzgerald landed?
Yes.
So he's back there with those guys. Scherer was a big loss, man. And listen, Pruitt was never going to make it because he's Pruitt. He's the Gump. But when Kevin Scherer, you replace Kevin Scherer, who's a quality SEC linebackers coach, who's coached at Georgia, been in this league forever. His guys were productive when it was Betuli and Toto. And you replace him with the Moose. And then all of a sudden, it's Toto and Jeremy Banks. Let me tell you something, folks. Those guys did not, they're not bad players. They didn't get worse. They just didn't know what to do because they didn't have any coaching. They lost Kevin Scherer, and you had the Moose telling them what to do. So, a little interesting nugget for you right there. Jake?
And number four, this just in, Carmelo Anthony has signed a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. Details have not been surfaced yet, but over the course of his 19-year career, Carmelo Anthony has made $262,523,000.
I mean, do they have to sign every player outside of Davis that I just don't like?
You hate Westbrook. You hate LeBron.
Not a big Melo fan. I think he's soft.
Who else did they sign, Russell?
I don't know. It's just – it's weird because Carmelo Anthony, to me, I don't know if there's ever been a player – that went from for me, this is just my personal opinion, others may disagree, but I found him to be a great story, incredibly likable when his 1 year at Syracuse, remember they went on that run, I think, what was that, 2003, they won the national championship as a 7 seed,
yep,
I believe. And I'm thinking, oh man, this guy, what a fun story, he's gonna be fun to watch. And he's just been bounced around, feuding with coaches and players. Sounded like a me first guy. Never been a much of a winner in the NBA. So, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a amazing turnaround for him that we rarely see from college to professional sports. All right, thank you, Jake Miller. That is the top four at four. It's brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. You check them out online at cnbtn.com or call 865-453-9031 to find a branch near you. Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Opening the phone lines up to you, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in with us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the show, 546-8200. We got Jordan DeJani coming up to talk a little NFL football with us in about 12 minutes. So if you want to take a shot, go ahead and jump in now while we've got a minute. Revisiting this, your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. We all got a little redneck in us.
And, some more than others.
Some more than others. But if you're listening to this show, chances are, even if you're like a lawyer, even if you're wearing a necktie right now, even if you're in that world, chances are you got a little neck in you. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening to Fan Run Radio. This is judgment-free zone. We say this in a loving way. What's the most redneck thing you do? Keith, let me find this one. Keith had a good one on the Twitter machine.
Okay.
He says he will oftentimes save/reuse a piece of chewing gum on the table when he's at home.
I don't know if that's red or just absolutely disgusting.
I mean, I've done it on a pop can
before. He puts the chewing gum on the table and then continues chewing it later.
Yeah, his grandmama should have slapped him when he was a kid. That's disgusting. Like, type behavior is like blowing snot rockets.
What, and just letting it stick on the wall?
Well, no, I mean, you do it outside, but like, if I got to blow my nose, instead of going to get a tissue, I'll just walk out on the deck and let it rip. It's much more hygienic.
That's pretty redneck. I'll still blow one occasionally if I don't have any. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because this happened to me yesterday.
Okay.
You ever have some phlegm or something and you have to spit, but you're driving your car?
Yeah, you hock it out the window.
Yeah. But you don't want to, you got to be careful. If you're not a regular spitter like me, you got to be careful because you don't want to get it all on the side of the car. Right? It's hard, man. It's hard to get good distance. And so, like, you're saving it. I don't want to do it at full speed on the interstate. It's going to blow back all over me in the car. It's disgusting, right? So you have to, like, carefully arrange to slow down. You don't want to spit on somebody else's car. Don't want to start a road rage incident or something like that. You got to make sure you get it away from the car. Yeah,
I don't go through all that. I just let it rip.
Even if you're driving down the interstate.
Yeah. I can get it far enough out the window.
I don't know, man. That wind can be treacherous. Brett says, do you think Bowling Green being the first game that there is any point in trying to hide who the starting quarterback will be? I mean, if you're scared of Bowling Green having a leg up, then what the bleep are we even doing here?
Yeah, I'm hoping that this new regime, that they won't do some of that stupid ass stuff that, you know, Butch especially did. Remember when he had, what was it? He had Worley, who basically had a shattered shoulder, dress out for practice. It made that kid, you know, go through the, I don't know if anybody, you know, if you've ever messed up your shoulder, but
life,
one of the hardest
fun
things to do is to get dressed, even put a t-shirt on.
Yeah. I hope that Heupel, I know he's a college football coach. There's going to be a level of paranoia there that we're just going to have to deal with. Right. But I hope that he's not seriously spending any time this preseason thinking, man, I need to keep wraps on this quarterback situation. Bowling Green and Pitt, I don't want to give them a leg up. I guarantee you, and Pitt, Florida, whoever, there is nobody in the college football universe that is worried about who Tennessee's quarterback is going to be, right?
No.
And they know generally what kind of offense we're going to run, because they'll just watch UCF the last 3 years. They know we're going to spread it out and throw it a little bit more than we have in the past. So I don't think that I hope that's not something that we have to put up with, coach playing games with who's going to be the starter quarterback. I understand if your starter gets hurt midway through the season and you've got two guys and, you know, maybe you're playing a mind game with the opposing coach, that's one thing. But in this particular situation, Tennessee needs to be about finding their starter and identifying him as quickly as possible.
Well, I think that's basically what he said today and what they're going to do.
Now, I have heard through the grapevine, and Blake Topmeyer kind of hinted at this in hour number one, and he said, I don't know that you necessarily have to have your guy even but before the first three games, basically saying you could play. If you can't narrow it down beyond two or three, then you could give guys some reps. You know, even in that Pitt game, there might be room to play more than one quarterback. Now, I have heard that, Bear. I've heard that there is a package. They've already got quote-unquote packages for Joe Milton. Not saying that he won't just win the starting job outright, but even if it's Bailey or Hooker, like, I think you will see some Joe Milton anyway, because they just think he's that good of an athlete that they're not going to. I mean, you're going to see him playing one way or the other.
Oh, sure.
Season.
I would hope so. I mean, you have to go all the way back to Dobbs since we've had anybody with that level of, you know, just size and physicality.
Listed at 6'5", 245. A little picture Rob Lewis tweeted out of him. He's got the Thunder thighs.
He's a big kid.
He's got the big rump.
Did you see what Cade Mays said about him?
No.
So apparently when he first rolled up to campus, Cade Mays was like, man, I'll be honest, I thought he was a defensive lineman. Like a defensive end.
Yeah, I wonder if they do some, you know, short yardage stuff with him in the gun where they just run him. Kind of like Auburn did with Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, I that's what I took from some of the comments that were made today is that, you know, and I'm looking forward to it. Having a quarterback that, you know, if a play breaks down, he can pick you up, you know, 8 to 12 yards on a scramble. And that freezes the defense. There's so much that that really, I mean, it just helps you out if you've got a quarterback that can do that. I mean, how many games did we win? And, you know, people, Josh Dobbs would destroy people doing that.
Mm. DR Vol on Twitter says, let's be honest, the caller who blow dries his, well, you know, man parts to go to sleep every night is the most redneck slash insane thing anyone does.
No. No, it's not.
That's up there, though.
It's pretty weird, dude. It's pretty weird. What's weirder than the guy who sleeps with the hair dryer? Colval is his name. Tried to pin it off on his brother for a month or two before we busted him on it. What's weirder than Colval sleeping with a running hair dryer in his bed aimed directly at his nether regions?
I mean, we've got a caller that eats squirrels.
That's pretty redneck.
I've got a guy that I know that eats Little Caesar's pizzas out of the trash, even though they're 2 hours old.
Well, no, now that sounds like something, you know, a guy who did. You make it sound like he does that regularly, like he gets the pizza and then puts it in the trash and won't eat it for 2 hours. That's that had to be a one-time thing, right?
No, I mean, he can leave pizzas out for hours at a time, just sitting on the countertop.
Yeah.
And just go back, even though it's been sitting there since 3 o'clock in the evening, he'll go back at 11 o'clock at night, just go and grab a slice
Again, boys, this is not... I think that we're having trouble here because people are throwing stuff out that aren't really redneck type behaviors. They're just absolutely disgusting.
Well, what's the difference?
I mean, like to me, like redneck's the guy that chews tobacco at church and swallows it.
Or like the kids in high school that take a big wad once they're done with it and just slap it on the cinder block walls of the high school bathrooms.
I don't know.
Maybe not something that's necessarily weird or disgusting, but something that's just, it's a little bit, some would say rude, and the guy just doesn't know any better. Like with I'm sure Colval knows that his hairdryer thing is completely weird, right? We know that spitting from the car, I don't know, spitting from the car, pretty redneck. Spitting in general is pretty redneck stuff is just stuff that, you know, in quote unquote polite society, like if you're walking down Park Avenue in New York City and you do something that the locals up there are going to stop and be like, what? Something you don't do in church. That's a good example, Bear.
You're like, you know, Mike from Vestal just, you know, hit me up on the text box and going to meet Corey with a lawn chair and a 22 and shooting rats.
That's pretty redneck.
Yeah. But just a lot of this stuff everybody's talking about is just some really disgusting habits.
So yeah, you're talking about like me shooting at crows outside of my family's dining room window when they're getting on my nerves.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. I'm going to get Jordan Dejani in here from CBS Sports. Talk a little NFL. I'm beginning to get a little worried. My Titans, man, it can't be this easy. There's got to be a catch. The rest of the AFC South is imploding before the season ever begins. What's going to, I feel like this is a fasten your cup moment for Titans fans. We'll talk to Jordan about it when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive, more Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Front Radio, The Drive continues. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Back with you here, Russell and Bear Cruz along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Let's bring in Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports in Nashville this afternoon. Hello, Jordan. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, thanks for jumping on, man. Now, let's start with the Titans over there in Nashville. As a Titans fan, Jordan, I'm looking at what's going on in the AFC South with the Colts injuries left and right. The Texans just a total train wreck imploding down there. It's like daycare down in Jacksonville right now with all the rookies they've got. It almost feels like it's too good to be true right now for Titans fans, Jordan. I wait for the other shoe to drop here. I mean, this is working out very well for Tennessee so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely been the storyline of training camp so far across the NFL is just the woes of the Indianapolis Colts. And man, you got to be feeling good if you bet on the Tennessee Titans to win the AFC South before all this happened and before the acquisition of Julio Jones. They were in second place in terms of division odds for a while, and now they're heavy favorites. So it's been a pretty crazy week, obviously. But yeah, the Titans sure look like the frontrunners.
Yeah, Julio a little bit banged up. Was that just a precautionary thing that he had to come off the field for yesterday?
Yeah, from what I saw, it was totally precautionary. I think he took kind of an awkward fall going up for a ball. It's pretty precautionary. I mean, we all know he's an all-pro wide receiver that's going to bring a lot to this offense. Training camp for him is really about going through the motions with his new teammates, trying to establish chemistry with his new quarterback, his new coordinator, his new head coach. Totally precautionary. And we've seen a lot of these kind of just banged up stars in the NFL through the early stages of training camp, but nothing too crazy to be worried about just yet.
A lot of Titans fans, a lot of just NFL fans, period, kind of raised their eyes during the draft when the Titans took Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech in the first round. He's a cornerback, has a back injury, and a lot of people thought that the Titans overvalued him drafting him in the first round. I see he's out there at practice as of yesterday. Is everything on track for the Titans' first round pick to be ready to go for to start the season?
Yeah, you know, from what I've seen from reporters who are there covering this action, it does seem like he's on the right track. It didn't seem like he was hampered by that back injury going through the warmups and just speed drills there in training camp. So that's really good to see. When my eyebrows rose is when he was on the PUP list and he wasn't able to participate in rookie minicamp. I knew that he suffered that back injury, had a minor procedure before the draft, but I really thought he was going to be able to participate with his new teammates in training camp or in the rookie minicamp in the early stages of training camp. But now he's finally back on the field with his teammates. I see that he's been taking some lessons from Janoris Jenkins, the speedy veteran that the Titans picked up in the offseason. So that's really good to see. He's definitely going to be a player, along with Julio Jones, that fans and journalists are going to have eyes on moving forward.
New coordinators for the Titans on both sides of the ball. Same head coach. Do you think that there will be any systemic changes for the Titans on offense or defense, or do you think that Mike Vrabel makes these hires promoting from within in order to ensure some stability?
Yeah, I would definitely opt for the latter there. I mean, it's definitely more of a stability play. In fact, I think that Mike Vrabel promoted Shane Bowen to defensive coordinator just to have him have the title, because I remember that reporters were kind of upset with the woes that the defense was experiencing in 2020. And Mike Vrabel was coming out and saying that he was in charge of the defense, that Shane Bowen had taken on an authoritative voice when it came to that side of the ball as well. So he got promoted, you know, quote unquote, to defensive coordinator. Mike Vrabel is still going to have a big say in terms of the schematics that play with that defense. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, that's going to be really interesting because obviously you lose Arthur Smith, who had so much success over the past few years in terms of getting Ryan Tannehill's career back on track, in terms of having Derrick Henry become the most dominant running back in the NFL. Now you introduce Todd Downing. Now, this is a guy with some experience, but I mean, not a ton as an offensive coordinator, but he has been in the system. He has learned under Arthur Smith. And a lot of people, you know, are talking about what this offense could potentially look like. But when you take a step back and just examine the kind of pieces that he has to work with in terms of the quarterback, the running back, a solid offensive line, good weapons on the outside with Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and I like the addition of Josh Reynolds as well. He's got all the tools necessary to not have to come in and make the system completely his, right? He has a lot of talent to work with, so he's going to be able to find success early on, in my opinion.
It's easy for us. It's easy for us, Jordan, to say in the offseason, you know, you're going to be able to open things up a little bit more offensively for the Titans now that Julio Jones is here and Tannehill is more established as quarterback. That will help to lengthen Derrick Henry's career. The fewer carries he has, the fresher he should be later in the season, and the later into his career he should be able to play. It's easy for us to say that now. Do you think that will be the case, or do you think once we get into the season and you get into typically close NFL football games that the Titans will be leaning on Henry for 25-plus carries a game?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's what everyone is wondering about. I mean, in terms of lengthening the career of Derrick Henry, first of all, he's an absolute monster. I don't think that, you know, he's showing any wear and tear just yet, and he gets better as the season goes on, which is absolutely astounding. But again, he's going to be the central focus of the Titans' offensive game plan, so he is going to get a lot of touches in this offense week in, week out. But what I want to say is that, you know, you use the term open up. And I think that the potential for the Titans' offense to really open up in both the run and the pass game is going to be there. And the stats back it up. I saw this from ESPN's Saron Davenport earlier this offseason. Derrick Henry averaged an astounding 5.3 yards per rush against a six-man box. Against the seven-man box, A.J. Brown averages a league-high 4.3 receiving yards per route. And then Julio Jones has been absolutely dominant against an eight-man box, as you would imagine, because he's a one-on-one nightmare. So, again, all the pieces are there on the Titans' offense for this to be one of the most dynamic groups in the NFL. Again, it's just how the offensive coordinator comes in and tries to establish chemistry with all these pieces. But all the tools are there. So in terms of the offense having the potential to really open up, it's there, and I'm excited to see what happens in 2021.
Talking NFL with Jordan DeJani, CBSSports.com this afternoon. Jordan, I look at when I follow the NFL, I do it mostly through a Titans lens. You cover the league as a whole. What are some of the other key storylines that NFL fans will be following here in the weeks leading up to the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, one thing I just wrote about was actually what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, they gave up a king's ransom to draft Trey Lance with the number 3 overall pick. Kyle Shanahan has been adamant that there is no quarterback competition in the Bay, that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be their starter. But we saw Trey Lance make some pretty impressive throws on Tuesday. And, you know, the questions are going to continue to be asked, even if Kyle Shanahan is going to come out and try to downplay how great Trey Lance is doing in the early stages of training camp. So I think that's a storyline that is not going away. I think that this has more development to do just in terms of a storyline. I think that this is going to continue to be something we all have eyes on. The other two things I'm keeping eyes on is something similar to the 49ers, quote-unquote, quarterback battle or lack of a quarterback battle, is the Chicago Bears. I think that Justin Fields has been very impressive as a professional and also on his play on field, and he's been able to show off his big arm through the early stages of training camp. The Bears are adamant on Andy Dalton, but again, keep an eye on Justin Fields. I think fans are very excited for him. The other thing is, I'm going to go back to the New Orleans Saints for a second with the Vol, of course, Vol for life, Alvin Kamara, who's an absolute beast. He's going to be working in a new quarterback there in the NFC South. It's going to be either Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill. My money's on Jameis Winston, but this is one of the very few actual quarterback battles we have around the NFL. So that's going to be very interesting to watch, to see how Jameis Winston could kind of sync up with Alvin Kamara in the passing game, because Winston certainly hasn't been able to make his name known when it comes to accuracy with those short and mid throws. So I'm interested to see kind of how they establish chemistry there.
We're all hoping as football fans that COVID doesn't wreak havoc on the season the way it did last year, but it is still a big topic of conversation, including what is the testing protocol going to be once we get into the season. It seems like most teams are getting near that 85% threshold for vaccinations on individual rosters. Do you think that we will see games have to be forfeited or canceled this year because of COVID?
Oh man, that's a loaded question. I'm going to say there's a possibility, yes. In terms of forfeited and canceled, I'm going to say no, but maybe rescheduled. I don't think we're out of the woods there just yet. I mean, a big breakthrough came today. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network reported that the NFL is now at 90% of players vaccinated overall. that's great, and you're never going to get to 100%, unfortunately. But something that I don't think is being talked about enough is that we have these protocols in place, and these protocols are ever-changing. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, some of those players who are fully vaccinated, you know, are testing positive. We've seen that over the past couple of weeks. I think that's very interesting. How does that affect the protocols moving forward? What happens if there's a small outbreak moving into the regular season that includes some players who are vaccinated? How are we going to mess with our protocols then when it comes to crunch time, you know, when we enter the real weeks of the NFL season? So, you know, no matter what side of the spectrum you sit on, I think that everyone needs to be patient when it comes to these protocols. Like I said, they are ever changing. They're not set in stone. The league and all 32 clubs are going to try to be flexible to make sure that we can pull off a successful 2021 season.
Rumors abounding on the internet this afternoon that the Buffalo Bills could be threatening to move again. Is this just posturing that will ultimately result in a new stadium for the Bills in Buffalo? Or do you give any credence to reports that perhaps they're looking at Austin or maybe even Toronto?
Yeah, that's a very interesting story, right? But like you said, it's posturing, it's positioning, it's trying to get what you want out of this negotiation in terms of a new stadium. I don't give any credence to the possibility of the Bills moving to Austin, Texas or Toronto. I don't think we've gotten to that point just yet, and I don't think we ever will get to that point, especially with the Buffalo Bills' recent success. I think that, you know, a lot has to happen to come together with these negotiations, but I do believe that they'll get that new stadium. When, I'm not exactly sure, but I don't see them moving to another city.
Jordan DeJani, CBS Sports. Jordan, before we let you go, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball. Who will be the first NFL coach to be fired heading into the season? Who's on the hot seat?
Oh, man, you're definitely putting me on the hot seat right there with that question. You know, how about this? I mean, one guy that really stands out to me that I think is making the wrong decision with his quarterback. You know, we just talked about the Chicago Bears. I think Matt Nagy's on the hot seat for sure. And if he's adamant that Andy Dalton is going to start this season, I don't think that they're going to find success with him under center. I think that they could have a rough start to the season. And let's imagine, hypothetically, if Justin Fields comes in and he doesn't exactly live up to his draft position either, we're going to see Matt Nagy on the way out. So he's on the hot seat. Another guy to keep an eye on is Mike McCarthy with the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys always seemingly have a lot of hype coming into every season, and they always seem to fall flat on their face. So keep an eye on Mike McCarthy. I don't think he's going to be one of the first ones to be fired, of course. But in terms of Matt Nagy, keep an eye on him.
Yeah, McCarthy, just that one, it doesn't seem to be taking, right? I mean, a lot of people thought, oh, yeah, that makes sense when they hired him. And something seems off down there in Dallas. I know that is a lot of times the case when Jerry Jones is involved, but this one seems particularly strange to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like you said, I mean, they dealt with a myriad of injuries on both sides of the ball last year. So obviously you can chalk up the 2020 campaign to that. But you're right. Something is not exactly right. And I think, you know, even after a really terrible season that was not necessarily Mike McCarthy's fault, like I said, this franchise has a lot of hype going into each and every season. That does not help a head coach's stock. So they tried to address some things on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see if they did enough. We'll see if they can stay healthy for a full now 17-game season. And if Ezekiel Elliott's on the decline, he had a disappointing campaign. Giving Dak Prescott the bag, was that a good decision? They got great wide receivers. But, man, they just don't seem able to put it all together when it matters most. So this is America's team. There's a lot of pressure here, and that's why there's a lot of pressure on the head coach.
Excellent stuff. He is Jordan DeJani with CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Jordan DeJani. Jordan, thanks so much. I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you so much.
Jordan DeJani, one more time on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Oh, man. NFL season is here, man. It is upon us, as I believe this is the Hall of Fame game. Is that Thursday?
This is Hall of Fame weekend. The GOAT's getting inducted.
Yeah, it's Thursday. Cowboys, Steelers. Love the Hall of Fame game. It's a tradition like none other. It's that special time of the year where I wake up on Thursday and I'm like, oh, There's football on, and I spend all day getting excited about it. I get my popcorn ready. That game comes on at 8 o'clock in that small stadium up in the middle of Ohio, wherever it is. And they come out and I'm watching the pregame and excited for it. And they bring the starters out there and they're playing football for about 2 minutes, about 2 minutes of real football. And then all of a sudden, they bench all the starters after seven plays. It's a bunch of guys that I've never heard of in there. And I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing? And I end up changing the channel about 5 minutes into the game and not paying attention for pretty much the rest of the preseason until the real games start here in about a month.
Yeah, I wait for when I start getting really fired up is when Hard Knocks comes back on. Where are they going to be this year?
You're in Dallas.
The Big D.
There to document every excruciating moment of Mike McCarthy's downfall.
Yeah.
I believe the first episode is this weekend.
Really?
I think so.
Awesome. Means football's back.
All right, man. Let's take a quick timeout. It is The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick timeout right here. 865-546-8200. Your number. Go ahead, jump in. 546-8200. Your number to get on The Drive. Quick break. Your phone calls coming up on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russ LeBaire back with you. Jake Miller back in the studio taking your phone calls. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to get up with us. Some of y'all ain't right. Some of y'all ain't right out there. Yeah. Get some good ones. What is the most redneck thing you do? Steve-O says, beer in the shower. I will confess guilty on that one.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You don't strike me as that kind of guy, Russ.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a specific time for it. I'm not talking about first thing in the morning. Let me preface that. I don't want to think people I'm showing up to work two beers in every day. I'm talking about after a hard day working in the yard, after you mow, you come in. You're hot, you're sweaty, grass clippings all over you, you know, dirty. So a shower beer after mowing, that's one of the top 10 beers. That's right up there with beers on the lake, beers on the porch, the shower beer after yard work. That's one of the best beers there is.
I'll never understand that one.
Dick Shade says, use a tactical knife to do your nails.
Kind of red.
That's pretty red, Dick.
I've had to do that before.
What do you mean you had to do that before? You didn't have a pair of nail clippers handy?
No, we were in the desert for 30 days, and the only thing I had was my knife.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yeah, so you had to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do. Ron says, I don't do laundry unless it's absolutely necessary. Now, I got a lot of questions there, Ron. Like, what? First of all, are you single? Like, I think that's single guy stuff right there. And then, What do you define as absolutely necessary?
Probably gives it the smell test.
Oh, man.
Throwing it back in the dryer.
Hey,
just fluffing it up and getting the wrinkles out.
Yeah, I will confess to that. Like, most of the time, you know, a shirt, if I've worn it for a day, it's going in the dirty clothes. But I let it ride with the jeans, man. I do not wash my jeans unless there's something on them.
don't think he's supposed
I'll go a few days without washing them. Again, I don't think this is red behavior, though.
Oh, I will go more than a few days. I mean, like, I'm wearing a pair of blue jeans right now that I don't think I've washed maybe since the spring.
That's just absolutely disgusting.
I don't like stiff blue jeans, man. I like them nice and I like them like I like them. And I'm a grown up. I'm not out rolling around in the dirt. They're not dirty. They don't smell bad. I like my jeans loose and soft.
Yeah, that's just gross, man.
Is it redneck or is it just gross?
Nah, I'm beginning to think we should have workshopped this a little bit more.
Well, that's what we're doing, Bear.
Well, because, I mean, all I keep hearing are just absolutely disgusting rather than redneck type behavior.
Nicole, I'm getting some female feedback here this afternoon, says keeping a spit cup handy for sunflower seeds, shells.
Guilty.
I don't know.
See, I don't know if that's redneck. I think that's a little bit gross. I'll tell you what's redneck is, and this is not my world, so and I know both of you guys have dipped before, but when I see a guy with a water bottle, an empty water bottle, and he's spitting tobacco in it, to me, that's redneck and gross at the same time. That's not civilized behavior. Sorry.
Would you rather him spit it on the sidewalk or...
Fair enough. Good question. Here's what I would say. First of all, don't use those products at all. They cause cancer. Second of all, I would say if you insist, can you get some sort of receptacle that's not clear, see-through, so we don't have to see your disgusting tobacco remnants through the clear plastic bottle?
Could you
at least do that?
No.
I mean, come on. This isn't NOM. There are rules.
That's kind of red.
865-546-8200. All right, here we're going open lines the rest of the way here, folks. We'd love to hear from you. Opening it up. You don't want to hear me and Bear and Jake talk for the next hour and 10 minutes. I mean, we'll do it. Like, believe me, we'll talk for the next 3 hours if you want. But you don't want to hear us, man. You've heard what we think. You've heard what we have to say. Bear, we all pee off the back porch. I drink cold coffee from the day before. Bear blows snot rockets. And Jake, what is it you do, Jake? I can't even remember. What's your most redneck thing?
Eating roller dogs on the reg.
Jake is a gas station hot dog enthusiast.
And pizza.
That pizza's pretty damn good, man.
Oh, yeah, that Weigel's pizza?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose they wouldn't have it up there if somebody wasn't buying it.
They sell it like hotcakes.
Bear, the people want a Volnugs update. I'll give you a second to compile that. Did you guys see the Texas state senator roasting? Just, oh my goodness, just bodying the president of the University of Texas on the Texas state Senate floor yesterday?
Yes.
That was brutal. That was brutal. I don't think I've ever seen a nerd dunked on by another nerd publicly like that in quite some time. And a female nerd at that. She reminded me, that gal reminded me of the judge who sentenced OJ when she was just slurping on that big gulp, dishing out time like it was nothing. Like it was nothing. Yeah, I don't care who you are, Nordberg. You're going to the joint for a couple of years. I don't care if you were just trying to get your stuff back. You decapitated that poor guy and your ex-wife a couple of years ago and got away from it. You ain't getting away from it this time. You're going to prison. Gulp, gulp, gulp. See ya. She said to that dude, "How much money do you guys make?" He's like, $200 million a year. And she's like, "And your team's not very good?" He He's like, no. She goes, yeah, you're 8-3 versus the Horned Frogs. Guess you'd rather lose to Alabama than TCU. That guy just said, he didn't know what to do, man. She torched him. She absolutely bodied that guy. It was beautiful. I guess that's what happens now. You get the politicians involved in the whole conference expansion thing. It's Texas. They're gonna call you on the carpet and embarrass you a little bit. Talk trash to you, make it look good for their constituents, the people who don't want you to leave. And and send you on your way. Excuse me. That was disgusting. I apologize. Cruise along with you here, looking ahead towards the top five at five. Jake Miller will be in to shock and amaze and entertain and inform and update you. We need an Olympics update. Bear, what happened in the Olympics yesterday?
We had a lot of stuff going on. We had, what's her name? Little American girl won the floor routine. Thank you, Jake. Won gold. In gymnastics, China still has a substantial lead in gold medals, but we are the overall medal leader for the games. We've got Simone Biles coming up tonight competing in the balance beam. Gymnastics is starting to wind down. We have the men's high bar competition. Personal favorite of mine, Russ. Always wanted to be able to do that. And I swing around that one bar like crazy.
Is that where the guys are wearing the footy pajamas?
Yeah, but they're like on that high bar and they're just like spinning and flipping and doing all kinds of craziness.
Why are they wearing footy pajamas? Why can't we just see their feet? Why can't they wear shoes?
I'm not sure why they do that. I'll try and get an answer on that for you.
Please.
Those guys, sneaky small. Male gymnasts. I mean, they're ripped and all that, but they're all like tiny. Tiny little dudes. So right now, the USA beat España in basketball.
I saw that. Ricky Rubio still playing. He's got to be getting old now, right?
Ricky Rubio?
Yeah, for Spain.
Not related
Good
to Marco.
Lord, I'm looking at him right now. He's got a hell of a beard.
I mean, remember, he came into the league as the next big thing. He was like 15 years old or something. Maybe not that young, but he was a young man, and he's been around for, I want to say, well over 10 years. I mean, 15 years, maybe?
I wonder if he's related to Little Marco.
He is not related to Little Marco.
Huh.
So we beat Spain. Is Marc Gasol still play for them? They've got a couple nice players, right?
Yes.
So is that we're in the final now?
I'm not sure how it works.
I think we're in the semis.
I thought you were supposed to be my Olympic expert, Bear. Come on.
I told you I had a bad night last night.
Come on. I need you to be on top of this.
All right. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. We'll go open lines the next 60 minutes. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Now is the time to join all the other